What's going on, guys? Welcome to the first ever episode of DU Debates. This series will be debating various topics, but today we are getting into rankings. Jake and I have picked out a player that we're each going to challenge each other on from our DU rankings. I'm super stoked to get into this. So without further ado, I'm going to challenge you, Jake. My player today is DeAndre Swift. I want you to tell me why you have DeAndre Swift valued so much higher than me. In our graphic here, we're showing my ranking at 125, running back 27 overall. Yours 105, running back 19 overall. And then you're actually matching KTC ranking at running back 19. And their overall ranking falls in between ours at 118. So how do you feel about DeAndre Swift? Why is he valued so much higher than me?
Yeah, I think for me, DeAndre Swift takes a big value tank for a lot of people because of his lack of touchdown production, which to me is simply impacted by scheme. Personally, don't see DeAndre falling back into Philly, still at 24 to 25 years old. I think he still has a few more years left. Lack of production in his first 3 years in Detroit kind of give me a little bit larger window for a running back to have a little bit longer lifespan. So, you know, we're looking at rebuilder rankings. We're looking at, you know, wider use case for an actual running back and how that player is going to impact in terms of value for a rebuilder roster. I find Swift to be the type of player that might actually kind of gain in value in the right system in this upcoming year. Now, maybe I have added a little too much value in terms of running back versus the rest of the pool, because that's kind of what I'm gathering here between your rankings and KTC. Maybe he's up a little bit high in terms of overall, but I do think in terms of running back rankings, I kind of have him right exactly where I think he should be. But yeah, what about you? What are you thinking about him?
Yeah, I think some of it stems from his inefficiency over his career, really. But truthfully, he probably had one of his better years on the ground in terms of like yards after contact per attempt, 2.44. That's highest mark since 2022, but he was limited work with Detroit. And here, you know, he's coming off of a 239 attempt season. So, I mean, that was fairly impressive. 45 missed tackles forced, but a 47.5 elusive rating, which is really, really poor. It's like 25th in the class, I think we have on our graphic here. 24 years old, it's not young for a running back necessarily. He certainly could have a few years left, but I think, you know, the uncertainty of where he's going to be is part of the problem for me as well. Being in Philly wasn't amazing, but it's been by far the best situation for him in his career. So can it get better than one of the best teams in general, one of the best rushing teams in the league? I'm not so sure. And anywhere he goes, he's probably going to be in more of a timeshare with potentially better options around him, right? I mean, who was around him this year? It was Rashad Penny, or the ghost of Rashad Penny. And I mean, is Boston Scott still there? Like, he's still surviving on that
Kenneth
roster.
Gainwell?
Kenneth Gainwell. Kenneth Gainwell. He's fine. I don't hate Kenneth Gainwell. I was about to pull out like a Darren Sproles reference or something. But yeah, I think just a lot of the uncertainty for me is I think part of the problem. I don't think he's always been super effective. He's not been the best receiver, and I don't think that's going to change at 25 years old wherever he goes, unless he ends up on like Kansas City. But again, that shouldn't be a reasonable option, right? Like, that's not what's going to happen. They have their backfield set. Are there a bunch of backfields ready for a DeAndre Swift to just take over as a workhorse? I don't think so, personally. So for me, I'm just a little concerned in almost every regard. We're not too far off, but 20 spots is pretty far off, in my opinion. And, you know, when I was looking at our rankings, I think that there was a good deal of players in between there who I would be comfortable taking still over him. I think there may have been some quarterbacks, you know, maybe older ones, albeit like Aaron Rodgers. And I don't know if that was it, but like, I think Russ Wilson, those kind of players were in there. And I think I would rather take shots on them. You have them around 105, and I would probably be comfortable with like Mayer, Freiermuth, Spears, Rodgers, some of the picks in between. So those are the kind of players I think that are like, in terms of, you know, where I'm ranking him, who I think would be ahead of him. Some of those may fall behind for you in your personal rankings as well, but that's kind of what I'm seeing. But I think it's an interesting conversation, right? He's a 24-year-old running back in a very high-end pick and a guy who's sought after. So you know, there's people out there like me who you may be able to snag him off of at what you think is a value. For me, I think 118 is probably fine. I think that maybe among running backs, he should probably be a little bit lower.
Yeah, I think you're definitely on to something. I do believe that Philly did have one of its least efficient years offensively, regardless of how great we think their offense is. There's a major reason why they did fire their offensive coordinator. But Shane Steichen, we know he left to Indy the year before, where their running game was significantly more efficient. I don't think that was necessarily a Swift problem. Also, with regards to Swift in terms of his usage in the passing game, you know, in Detroit, he finished all 3 years close to either 50 receptions or more. He had a 62 reception season as well, catching almost 500 yards in the air. I think it really just comes down to usage at the end of the day. And I just don't know if this was necessarily the best place for him to show how effective he is. If he were to, you know, land in, let's say, a Baltimore, right? Somewhere that's looking for an RB1 that could be relatively cheap still, so they can compete at a higher level. That's a great spot for me. I think I kind of have him exactly where he needs to be in terms of contender rankings. But if he does fall and, you know, lands in the New York for the Giants, let's say, you know, he'll get usage, but at what rate, right? Like, that definitely has to be part of your thought process, especially when we're talking through these dynasty rankings. But I'm with you. Probably leaving this conversation, he'll drop a little bit. I don't think he'll drop necessarily in terms of running back ranking. I think that running back 2019 range is about right for me. But I do think that there are a couple of tight ends. There probably is a 2025 rookie pick that would jump over him. Just looking at this really quickly, even Dalton Schultz, now knowing today that he signed a new contract with Houston, mm-hmm. I think I would have him over him as well. So, you know, there's definitely a group of players that can jump in there, but I'm really only seeing probably a 5 to 7 overall drop, which is still significant, right? That's a significant drop. And I appreciate you calling me out for where I have DeAndre, because I do think I was probably a little bit high, and I'm riding on the laurels of the what if he lands in the right spot. What if his receiving production gets back up? The elusive rating probably won't change, but his overall efficiency on the ground was still very productive last year and showed a lot of positive signs. So let's jump into it. I'm going to call you out, man.
Like, damn, I wanted to roast you a little bit more. Yeah. I wanted to roast you more. All right, fine.
No. Too much for me. It's time for you to defend yourself. Why is CeeDee Lamb your number 14 overall player when in most startups, we're seeing him fall anywhere between pick 7 all the way to about pick 12? He's going basically first round in every 12-team startup right now in Superflex. Give me a reasoning.
Yeah, this is a tough one. I mean, I feel like I can defend myself here. You know, we have him around the same area. I mean, I have him exactly the same wide receiver 3. KTC is out of their minds at wide receiver 2 and 5th overall. They're just they're fading the quarterbacks. All right, whatever. But you know, just I'll look at the rankings right now. My rankings. And just I'll call out the players in front of CeeDee Lamb: Justin Herbert, Jordan Love, Jahmyr Gibbs, Bijan Robinson, and then Caleb Williams. That's it. And then the 9th player would be Joe Burrow, right? So that's We have it exactly the same.
We have it exactly the same with Joe Burrow and the rest of the group, yes, being the same above him, is what I'm saying. Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Yes, perfect. Exactly how we meant it to be. We're just a hive mind right here. But okay, so just kind of talking it through, maybe because of the recent changes in LA, maybe you could slot him over Justin Herbert. For me, I really value quarterbacks highly, and I'm finding that more and more with like every discussion I have. But with, you know, what I've seen from Jordan Love, long term, 25 years old, I think that is a very, very, very valuable asset in Dynasty. So that's kind of why I have him there. Same with Herbert, you know, 25 years old as well. And I think there's plenty of upside there. Obviously, we're worrying about the offense changing. So maybe I can adjust there a little bit. But for me, Jahmyr Gibbs and Bijan Robinson are going to be hard to move off of, because these are my tier 1 running back 1s in Dynasty, 21 years old. you know, as good as it gets really with the running back situation. We're not getting a much better class this year. We're not getting really, you know, just looking ahead with like Trevion Henderson and all these guys not really coming out as expected. Nick Singleton, he's not even kind of the same caliber as some of the players we've seen before, and things can change for sure. But I think these guys are kind of a tier above with that youth factor that kind of just pushes them ahead of a wide receiver here for me, where I think you can get similar production, maybe a pick or two later or coming around that turn in the second round and Amon-Ra St. Brown, something like that. Right. So, you know, I do think maybe I could adjust with the Caleb Williams. Like, would you take CeeDee Lamb over the 101? I guess you would. For me, it's closer. So he should move a little bit for me. Looking at it, that's kind of where my brain went. How do you feel about that explanation?
Yeah, I severely disagree with it, but that's okay. And that's why we're here, right? Like, for me, it's all about longevity and dynasty. And I just don't foresee in any situation where a 21-year-old running back outlives a 24-year-old wide receiver, especially at the production level that CeeDee Lamb has shown. One of the biggest things that I think that we've gotten out of CeeDee's game is his touchdown production has gone up significantly, right? I think off the top of my head, I'm not looking exactly at the stats. I believe he went from 3 touchdowns to 6 to 9 to 14 last year. And that touchdown jump really shows both the efficiency that he has in that offense, as well as the relationship that he's built with Dak Prescott. Obviously, one of the biggest things that I want out of a dynasty franchise star wide receiver is a correlation with a long-standing quarterback situation. So CeeDee actually lives in a better situation for me than Justin Jefferson does, knowing that Dak Prescott's going to be the starting quarterback there for an extended period of time. For me, that actually provides additional value for CeeDee Lamb over a running back who, at bare minimum, you really just don't really know based on usage what their current situation is going to look like, right? And when I say that, you know, you are one person who harps a lot about this, but my biggest fear is a running back who hits 300 touches, or specifically 300 carries in a season. That can happen at any particular time. We saw it with Najee Harris in his, second year in the NFL, and we saw the production cut off immediately after that. I'm not telling you that Najee Harris was a number 10, number 12 dynasty asset overall at the time, but I can tell you that if Bijan Robinson hits 300 carries next season, he's going to be faded. Like, it's going to be a reality. And so I don't have that same fear in elite wide receiver assets. And so I immediately, and maybe there's a lot of inherent bias here, I push CeeDee above those assets. Going back to your initial question with regards to the 101, I honestly have the 101 and CeeDee Lamb back to back. 101, I believe, is at my 10 overall, and CeeDee's at my 9 overall. It's a coin flip at the end of the day, and it really depends on my build. I think if I'm trying to go strictly immediately young and I really believe in Caleb at that exact moment, which I very well could, I could see it. Realistically, I'm still probably going to go CeeDee Lamb over the 101 in most drafts, I'm going to be honest with you, but that's just where I sit.
Yeah, that's fair. I do think the 101 and Caleb probably will gain more value. So that's kind of where my head's at. I think that's probably the reality.
Yep.
In terms of Dak being, you know, this super safe reality for CeeDee Lamb, I mean, he is going to need an extension here in a year, I believe. They'll probably give it to him, but it's not guaranteed that he's his quarterback. I mean, they haven't been like super in love with Dak, let's be honest. Like, they obviously like him there, but there have been questions before his last, you know, when he got his last contract about, you know, if it was going to be in Dallas. So I do think that there are some questions, but that's really not that big of a deal for me. In terms of longevity, I think all of these guys offer plenty of longevity for dynasty, because like I'm looking more in like a 2-3 year window. And for me, I think, you know, both Bijan and Gibbs offer that. I think Bijan actually is the one we should be, you know, fearing more, that 300 plus touch season. So, you know, Gibbs, I might be less worried about long-term sustainability or something happening in the short term, like you were alluding to, like that could happen anytime for sure. Next year, Bijan could easily get 300 carries. I don't think that's going to happen for
Junior. No, I don't either, but I'm just saying.
I'm just saying to your point, like talking specifically, getting granular on these players that you're pushing me on, I'm trying to kind of dissect like how I would adjust this, because I do think I'd still have the one-on-one over him. And I think I'd still probably have it maybe back-to-back. So maybe I can get him to like 10 or 11, but now you're making me consider like moving the running backs down below some of these quarterbacks as well in that small window. So now I'm stuck. You can see I'm short circuiting and I don't know what to do about this situation, because it's, you're nitpicking, which is like, you're being a pain in my ass right now, because this is a tight window, but it's a worthy conversation, because we have seen CeeDee Lamb go in the first round. And clearly, as we talk through this, there's plenty of reason to believe, you know, that he should go there. He's going to offer more sustainability than some of these guys that I'm talking about. I don't know how now I'm thinking about moving the running backs below CD and having the quarterbacks above him and, you know, massage that around as we go. But it's tough for me to have him over guys like Jordan Love and Justin Herbert, who I think are really, really, really solid options at quarterback. And I mean, I guess we're talking about wide receiver 1A, B, and C, right? When we're talking about Ja'Marr Chase, Justin Jefferson, and CeeDee Lamb. So why do we take those other guys over these quarterbacks and not him? There's clearly some more, and I've talked about this, perceived fragility in CeeDee Lamb's profile for whatever reason. And, you know, I do think that looking at the rankings, you can actually kind of pick it out a little bit. Joe Burrow is ranked over, you know, CeeDee Lamb for you even, right?
Yep.
And Dak Prescott is, I'm sure, a good deal down. He's like, I'm looking at my rankings only, but around 20 overall.
Same.
Okay, so right there, you see that, you know, Joe Burrow obviously means more to us for Ja'Marr Chase, and we see more stability there. It's a really tough conversation to have, because I do think that Dak Prescott is a key cog in this conversation, like you mentioned, right? He kind of needs to be there with that stability. Otherwise, there's a lot of uncertainty. We don't know the kind of targets he's getting. And yeah, so we're putting a lot of faith in Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys to make the right decisions.
Yeah, so can I just ask you a final question then? I think this could be a good closer. Let's say Dak agrees to a contract extension. Does that push CeeDee Lamb up in value for you? And does he move up in your rankings?
Yeah, probably to where I like about you have him. Probably above the 101, but like 10, I'd say. So yeah, it might all have to do with me being concerned over the next few years about what his situation is with the quarterback. And I haven't really even thought about it like this, you know, in this much detail necessarily. So now I'm kind of figuring out why I feel the way I do. And maybe it might be slightly, unjust or, it's unjust, it's not justified. Right. So I might be in the wrong here a little bit with that, like perception of, again, fragility with his profile based on his quarterback. Like, what am I doing? So
you're going to do that. Right. If you're going to do that, then you have to do the same thing with Justin Jefferson. And I don't see you moving him. So
that is true. But I do think that then that comes back to how much better do I think Justin Jefferson is than CeeDee Lamb? And I do think that he's a little he's proven to be QB proof pretty much. Right.
Yes. Yes.
OK.
He has. We haven't the windows in which we've seen CeeDee play without Dak. He's been productive, but we're also throwing out, you know, Cooper Rush as that quarterback, right?
Yeah, and development too. He was in a different stage of his development process, and he's clearly just we've talked about the different receiver, bigger body, everything. He's coming into his own. So you have a good point there. I do think that obviously there's a reason why Justin Jefferson is higher, because I do think everybody would agree that he's a better player.
Yes.
But to your point, I do think that is a good way to push me on this thought process, right? So I appreciate that, Jake. I think we did a great job here. Probably went a little bit longer than we wanted to, but I do think that we got some actionable information out of this. I really do. And I think both of us are probably going to make some minor adjustments at the very least after having this conversation. So thanks for being here. Really appreciate it, Jake. And thanks for everybody for tuning in. Please subscribe and catch us on the live show every week. Peace out.